Hi there, this is Brian from the No Name Nerd Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of Where All Nerds Belong, the site of the best freaking community of nerds on the internet. My goal in this podcast is to provide meaningful and substantively useful information that will help nerds who are trying to grow their online presence and pursue personal fulfillment through their passion for nerd and geek activities. I'm here to help nerd culture grow and to help you nerds make the world a little more nerdy, and I believe better as a result.
But I think I fixed it. All right, so here's the intro. So I'm very excited to have joining me today Joni Kraut, the CEO of Women in Games International, a global nonprofit based in Los Angeles, California, whose mission is to cultivate resources to advance economic equality and diversity in the video games industry. And I was really thrilled when I learned about your group, Jamie, and its mission, because as members of the No Name Nerd community know well, one of our missions is to create a welcoming and positive online environment. And it's something that we have worked hard to do throughout the evolution of the company. And I think that the gaming industry has so much to offer people of all kinds, but it's also sort of carried its own burdens in terms of perpetuating inequality and stereotypes. And so I'm really glad to have the opportunity to have you on the podcast today and to learn more about you and your work with Wiggy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So maybe you could start out by start out with sharing a little about yourself and your organization.
Sure. So I grew up in a household where we were always surrounded by gaming. Everything from my grandparents and extended family coming over to play cards for hours to having a massive shelf dedicated to holding every board game you could think of, to being the house everyone came to hang out at because my dad was super into tech and had to have all the gadgets. So we had all the handhelds and the consoles, and people just came over because they knew we'd have the latest release as well. My mom was amazing at Tetris, and she's also the one who taught me how to play Frogger back in the day. So
it's old school.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't this concept of winning or losing or unlocking some achievement status or anything. It was this community and it was family. And I grew up with this extended gaming family. And that's what gaming has always meant to me, this community and this togetherness. So that is absolutely something that I love about No Name Nerds and your Discord server and your friendly community experience. And that is also something that's very important to Wiggy. And that's what draws me to the games industry. I've worked with different organizations and consulted with some smaller startups and nonprofits over the years. And that's when I came across Women in Games International. And our work is really to cultivate resources to help normalize women in the games industry. And the mission spoke so strongly to me, I just knew I wanted to be a part of that team. So I started on as the CFO, and then I was just promoted to CEO back in October. So we focus on really getting women into the industry. We're finding ways to empower women to empower themselves. So we have workshops set up to help you write your resume, cover letter, interview tips and tricks, short-term programs, and we're making a long-term program right now focused on mentorship and sponsorship and coaching and trying to find ways to get women in the door, lower those barriers through networking and just kind of increasing your little toolbox of everything you need to be the best candidate and to get where you want to be.
That's great. You know, that's a really important important thing. Coincidentally, I've lately been working on a leadership development program targeting underrepresented populations. And one of the things that we've been working on is trying to help people develop that toolkit so that when opportunities arise, they're in a position to take advantage of them. And, you know, there's research showing that one of the gender disparities people confront is that, you know, men are much more likely to apply for jobs that when they feel they're only partially qualified, but women often hesitate when they don't see 100% and they're not meeting the qualifications to 100%. And that difference in perception, I think it would benefit from some of the things that you're talking about as part of Wiggy.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like sometimes people use that statistic to say like, dudes have more swagger or they're more likely to apply for a job they're not qualified for, and that's like a problem. But we actually just want to increase women's confidence to also apply for that same job. Get in there. Even if you're not qualified, you might be the right candidate for the role. You might be the right candidate for the team. And really throw your hat in the ring and see what happens and take that interview. And you might be surprised. You might get hired even if you don't have the CPA they were asking for or the specific credential that they had listed. They thought that that's what they wanted, but when they met you, they realized you were the best candidate. So I think increasing people's confidence as well is a big piece of what we're trying to do is make sure that you feel like you can apply for any job, but also make sure that you know what you need to do to get there. So that was a big thing I did, especially in college when I was looking for a career, is I would go to Indeed and I would look up the job I wanted, the price range I wanted, and the area that I wanted. And I would see what qualifications they had listed. And then that was what I would pursue. You know, what degree did I need? What certification did I need? What specific criteria did I need? And a lot of times it was experience. So applying for those entry-level jobs, even if you don't have everything that they have listed, that might be a great segue into getting into these other roles. Another big thing for me too was volunteering, finding opportunities where you can volunteer to build those skill sets, get in front of people who are looking for support and learn whatever it is that they need and truly understand what it is that that role needs rather than the qualifications listed. What true skills do they need? They think they need, you know, this specific qualification, but maybe if you go to that interview and you speak to them, you could say, it's more based on this personality or this ability to pivot in this other direction.
Yeah. And I guess I actually haven't written several job descriptions and worked on committees that have done so, that I think a lot of people, when they're applying for jobs, especially when they're starting out, they think that people who are hiring have some magic knowledge about what the job is. And the truth is, a lot of times it's people that are taking their best guess as to what the right qualifications are. And you know what? Sometimes there are searches and people realize in the middle of them that that's not exactly what they wanted. And so I think that's where that confidence that you're describing is important. And having a sense of normal, right, is I think, and what is normal, what normal looks like is part of what drives that. And yeah, because there's no reason not to apply, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what kind of goals or what is Wiki looking at doing this year? Like what kind of, can you maybe speak more to some of the specific projects and activities that I realize there's a lot of uncertainty here in 2021, but just kind of curious for specific things that you have on the table right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I just took over as CEO in October, and so I've been trying to pivot us into this new COVID world and also into a way that we are more focused on really empowering women to empower themselves. So our two main things that we're kind of known for right now are our networking events and our weekly newsletter. And our weekly newsletter goes out every Wednesday to about 10,000 industry professionals. And our networking events, we obviously had to kind of put a halt on during the pandemic. But our networking events are, we're most known for our E3 and GDC. So in Los Angeles and then GDC in San Francisco. And we have these over-the-top amazing networking events that just everyone wants to go to. We've had everything from roller derbies, and we have pictures of people jumping over like lines of people, to a circus theme where we had people hanging from silks from the ceiling. And they're really just these exciting, fun, goofy, but really great networking events, because there's so many top industry professionals that are there. It's a free event. We want everyone to have access. You just go and just hand out business cards the whole time, and you get to meet with so many people that you maybe otherwise wouldn't have had that opportunity to meet with. And it's based on this idea that if you you tend to network with and reach out to people who look like you, because you think that if they look like you, they will think like you, they will agree with you, they will see your point of view. And so that's kind of who you tend to sit with, who to talk to. If you walk into a crowded room, that might be who you first look for. And we want to break that stereotype and that barrier. And so we try to open the door to allow women or just people who don't look like you. We want you to talk to that person. And then we want you to get to realize that that person doesn't maybe always agree with you, but that's a good thing. And maybe that's going to help your game. Maybe that's going to completely change the direction that your main protagonist was going to be. We want those conversations to happen, and we want to normalize the idea of having this diversity on your team, and this diversity in networking is kind of where we feel that that starts. So, We are pivoting in 2021 to find this virtual space. And then we're hoping to be able to go back to in-person as well. But we just rebranded, and our brand is now actually, it looks like a power button. And our goal is to power your career through Wiki. And we want to find ways to empower people to, you know, like we were talking about that toolkit. We are focused on get in the game scholarship program, where we're going to allow people who otherwise couldn't afford it to get into a conference, a gaming conference. We're working with GDC, Gamescom, and DICE right now, and we're getting tickets for people. So a little bit about me. When I was younger, I grew up, and when my parents got divorced, my mom was a single mom of four, and we were completely starting over. She put herself through college, and she's amazing. She's a superhero. We were offered free tickets to go to the circus in Chicago, and we couldn't afford free tickets. And between the parking and the gas, it was going to be at least a 6-hour trip, the food and everything that we would need. And that's not even including what if a tire blew, you know, there's no backup money then. So she was like devastated because we couldn't afford free tickets. And I thought, oh, that's so weird that like they're free, you know, and as a kid, you can't fully wrap your head around everything. And now I kind of get it. And especially being, you know, I was a young mom and faced similar issues and things that, you know, as I was growing up, I had to kind of find a way to get over and overcome. We want to reach out to those people. We want to empower them. And so the Get in the Game Scholarship Program is focused on providing round trip flight, hotel, food per diem. And then we're also working with Dress for Success. They're going to do virtual conferences with the scholarship recipients. And there's also an opportunity to go get free donated clothing from Dress for Success as well, based on wherever you are geographically. And it's really cool because the woman who is assisting us was actually part of the EA Foundation. She was there for 15 years. And so she knows the games industry, like how to dress and the quirkiness to it and everything. So it's really finding ways to empower people and build that confidence, and getting dressed and feeling like you is definitely a piece of that. So that is one of our biggest exciting things that we're doing this year. We are very focused on college students as well. We're working with Gamers EDU and a few different universities. We want to find ways to get people into internships and entry-level careers through, you know, interview tips and tricks. Again, it always comes back to the resume and the cover letter. And then just showing those opportunities. Like, you don't have to be whatever stereotype you think it is that works in the games industry. You can be who you are, and that is perfectly, exactly acceptable. And we want to normalize the idea of women being in the industry, everything from developers to marketing to finance. Really, every category, we want women to see that there is an opportunity for what they do and what they love to be part of this amazing and, I would say, still up and coming industry.
Well, and, you know, I think it's a really important space to be in as you're trying to enact some kind of social change, because one of the things is I'm writing little notes about certain things you said. As somebody who's had a lot of experience in higher education, the gaming industry is not very much on the radar. And, you know, despite the fact it's now larger than what the movie industry and TV industry and music industry combined, I believe, I'd have to double check that statistic. It's a combination of multiple media, older media industries, gaming industry now exceeds. people are not really looking at it as a career path. And I think especially women I know are not looking at it as a career path. And so I think that, you know, the problem young people often confront is their range of experience is limited. And, you know, if their life experience is such that they've only been presented with three choices, it's hard to make a meaningful choice about what you're going to do with your life if you've only been given a limited number of options. And so things like going to those gaming conferences or having those experiences that you're describing really, I think, open people's eyes in a meaningful way, because there's stuff that people just don't realize are opportunities until they have someone present it to them. So that's important stuff. I always like to remind people, though, to actually plug. So if somebody was interested in your newsletter, where would they find it again?
Getwiggy.com. So GETWIGI. Getting wiggy with it. So if you think about it, it's Get Women in Games International, which makes sense. But
no, it's pretty good. I remembered it when after I saw your I think your email. And I'm interested in the challenges of, you know, the loss of some of these networking events. Have you guys looked at doing any kind of virtual events, or is that?
We have been researching like crazy to find the right platform. We have three different platforms that we're really looking at. We've been going to different conferences to see what does and doesn't work. We've been trying to do all of these different I think Discord has been like my favorite for community, because it's like a constant ongoing, but then people also join a Discord server and they feel like, oh, this has been around for 5 years. I don't know if I should even say hi, because, you know, all these other people already know each other. And so it's kind of this space where we want the opportunity to create a really fun, really cool networking event, but everybody's so tired of Zoom meetings by the end of the day. So it's like, we are definitely trying. We are working on pivoting. We have a couple of ideas, but we just want to make sure that it works and it's the most beneficial to everybody participating. We don't want it to be like another chore. We want it to be like, yay, like, let's go do this. So we haven't officially launched anything yet that we wanted to do, but I know especially with GDC as looking at doing hybrid, I want to say Gamescom might also be looking at doing hybrid at this point. And we're trying to find ways that we could potentially even have some in person and some virtual. So you still get that feel of being there. I think it would be great. If anybody has any suggestions or ideas, you can email me at info@getwiggy.com. But we are still in development for that.
Yeah. And, you know, the No Name Nerd community, that's kind of why we started out our happy hour events. And of course, we've got more fun networking ideas than professional networking, but really part of the motivation for that was just COVID was well underway, and it was I at least was worried about the social isolation that a lot of people were going through. And we had this great community that was growing, and it was like, well, let's create some regular opportunities for people to talk to each other. And
yeah, absolutely. We use the GIG, which is the Games Industry Gathering. If you sign up for our newsletter, it's advertised every week on our at the bottom of it's like partners page of our newsletter. And it was created by Guy, and he is amazing. And it's really well moderated. I want to say it's like over 2,000 people are part of this channel now. And there are these opportunities every Friday to join and to network, and they break you out into separate networking groups, and then you can meet. And I've gotten a lot of really cool connections from going to those. But again, it is that concept of just like, oh, every single Friday I have to get on Zoom again. So I have only gone to a few of them, but it's really great to have that channel as well. And then that there's so many different, you know, groups within the Discord server as well. There's the different channels and everything that you can talk to people about so many different things and just be yourself and have fun. And I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that advice too, because I know a lot of people in our community are interested in trying to kind of take what is a hobby for them and make it more into a profession, if not their full-time profession at some point.
And yeah, absolutely.
Getting connections within the industry are certainly a very meaningful way of accomplishing that. So that's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's huge, especially if you're not sure where you want to be, but you know that you're interested in working in games. Like, start talking to people who are already there and see what interests you. I have a 14-year-old, and he is looking at, what do I want to do when I go to college? What major do I want to have? What college do I want to go to? And so he's really been looking at, you know, I'm encouraging him to look at different job posts and see, you know, does this job description interest you? And if it does, then maybe you're into marketing, or maybe you're into, you know, he likes to draw. Are you into graphic design? Things like that. And then start dabbling with it now and start talking to people who are doing it. Ask them what they like, ask them what they don't like, and go from there. So.
Yeah, and that's the there have been some universities that have started things like esports majors, but I mean, for the most part, they're kind of glory majors. They're not, they're more marketing ploys. That I think that I'm going to guess a lot of the people in the gaming industry, it's just like any other industry, that if they're in marketing, they specialized in marketing. Like you said, if they're in graphic design, it's because they worked on graphic design. That I think that there are a number of ways at coming at the gaming industry, if that's your interest, right? That you could actually come at it from a number of different angles. I have this theory that increasingly we're going to see people who have theater backgrounds that are perhaps getting into the gaming industry.
Storytellers. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, as we've been driven into this digital world, people who are comfortable presenting and talking and engaging in visual affect through a computer screen, I think is going to be a new skill set and an important skill set. And I've known people who have gone to law school, and as part of their law school training, they have taken acting classes, because it's all about compelling presentation. And I know that things like professional and technical writing are growing fields, and that's, I'm sure, partially driven by the gaming industry, not entirely by any means.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a sales guy who took an improv class because he was tired of the awkward silences. So I think that's fantastic. That's great. I really like that esports are coming into college. I have definitely heard varying opinions on what that means for colleges and for kids who are in esports. It seems like an overwhelming consensus that if you do esports in college, it's not meant to go pro in esports. It's meant to get a deeper dive into what esports is, and that will help you as you then become a marketing person for esports or a partnership person for esports, rather than a professional esports player or a professional Twitch streamer or something like that. And I think that's kind of a cool concept. It's more like playing basketball in college, not because you want to join the NBA, but because you liked basketball and it was a great way to help you pay for college because you were good at it. And so you got a scholarship from playing basketball in college. After college, you're not going to play basketball anymore except for fun. But it is a cool opportunity to still meet with people who enjoy the same sport as you and learn more about that sport and potentially learn from industry professionals who are, you know, visiting your university. But I think it's really interesting. I had a friend who was coaching for a college esports team, but it's kind of over the years increased and decreased, and it seems like it's on the rise again. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I know that the past 2 years, there up until COVID, there was a whole lot of conversation about it, and there certainly have been detractors who are concerned about the where it fits in. And I think that there's still very much a stigma associated with video games that I think is, in my mind, a product of it as a relatively new form of media. And so you think about movies, and, you know, in the early and mid part of the 20th century, movies were heavily stigmatized. That's not real art. Film is garbage. You know, it's not in the same area as, music or theater, and, you know, movies were seen as lesser. And I think that's certainly come around. I think games will eventually come around, but right now I think it's, unfortunately, there's still a pretty significant stigma associated with them. But, you know, I like your description of the benefits of esports, and I think you could say the same thing about high school esports as well, that it's an opportunity to develop social connections. It's an opportunity to connect with the educational system, the opportunity to develop self-discipline, critical thinking, communication, logical reasoning, things that are translatable skills, whether or not you go into esports. And, you know, the vast majority of college athletes have no expectations that they are going to be playing competitively after college. That they go into it with that knowledge, and the fraction that are going to go pro after college is just extremely small, and more power to them. I mean, I'm you know, those that have the skill and the talent and are able to do that, you know, that's great. And I would say the same thing about esports, that, you know, there are a small fraction that will be able to go on and play professionally and make a living of it, but who cares if most people aren't? That there's still all of these other benefits associated with engagement and, you know, it creating a focal point for your marketing degree or your business degree or your electrical engineering degree, computer science, you name it. The connections are pretty widespread.
Yeah, I think it also opens it to a new community and normalizes the idea of esports. I know I didn't hear about esports as even being a thing until I was working at a tech company. And one of the guys was actually a retired professional esports player, and he was like 26. I'm like, what do you mean you're retired? But it was really cool to kind of hear about the competitions from him and then looking him up online and then watching them grow to be as big as they are now. But even still, like, how many people have been to an esports competition, you know? And I think bringing it back to college or high school sort of normalizes that idea. I know, you know, my high school play, the whole point of the high school play was to bring culture to the community, to people who couldn't maybe otherwise get out of our community. And then once you got interested in being in the high school play, you wanted to go to Chicago to see that amazing new play. I grew up in the Midwest, so Chicago, I'm sure it's San Francisco or LA or wherever your biggest city is. It was just normalizing the idea of that being part of your life and showing you this new thing that maybe you hadn't been exposed to otherwise. So I really like how it's opening doors by just being there, you know? And then kind of speaking to, you know, being able to help increase abilities, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, introduced me to World of Warcraft in 2005. And because I was playing it, I got way more comfortable using a computer. I was always terrified I was going to blow something up if I pushed the wrong button. And then playing Warcraft, you are going to blow something up by pushing the right button, right? And so it kind of became this exciting thing to see what button did what within the game and what features you could unlock by pushing, you know, the quote unquote wrong button, right? And it's really helped me in my career, being able to be comfortable with computers and having this desire to break something in a controlled environment so that I know how to fix it in a controlled environment. And then when it happens in a chaotic environment and there are all these other factors, I know exactly what I need to do because I already did this in a controlled environment. And kind of having that sandbox mindset has always helped me work into this kind of like a fintech space of being comfortable and confident enough to try new things within tech. And that's really helped me then again with gaming. So it's like this full circle of, I would love to get more kids involved with computers and just see what happens. And, you know, maybe you have to wipe it and start over a few times, but make sure it's their own computer and you don't have your taxes on there or anything. And that's cool. So that's a big thing in our house for sure, is everybody has, you know, that level of try it and see what happens. And if it breaks, then we'll figure out how to fix it. And I think that's sort of what, you know, esports, especially in high school or colleges, to me is just that constant idea. You know, even game development, Girls Make Games has a really cool summer program where girls within a certain age group, I want to say you have to be under 14, maybe over 8, something like that. But they work with game developers they have an idea, they have a story, and they want to tell this story, and they have a protagonist, and they have an antagonist, and they want to know, you know, how do you conquer? What is your sense of accomplishment? What is the goal of the game? And you can then back them on Kickstarter, and they can actually have this game made. I know PlayStation was a big sponsor last year, and it's almost like everybody wants girls to get into games. We just need to convince girls that it's our time. It's right now, and we need to move forward with it and figure out what that means to everybody and how do you need to be supported. And that's kind of where we're at right now, is what can we do to support you? What is it that you are concerned about? Talk to me, you know, send me an email. Let's chat about it and see what's going on. And why didn't you apply for that job that you really wanted? Or what can we do? What type of workshop could we maybe have and get you excited about, you know, becoming part of that team that you've always been excited about, or that game that you've always been playing? And I think that's kind of the biggest mission for us right now, is creating those segues, opening those doors and lowering the barriers.
So I'm curious about your thoughts on what are some of the barriers, because what you're describing I've also seen in, you know, some of the like engineering fields, that it's, there's a lot of support, but at the same time, there's, I mean, to be frank, still a lot of inequality. And I don't know, I'd be curious about your thoughts about where some of that's coming from.
Yeah, we're trying to work with different organizations to really help lower those barriers as well. If you have an all white male hiring team, are you really, you know, getting blinded by biases that you didn't even realize were happening? If you add just one woman to that and she disagrees with everybody else, is it that she disagrees, or is it, you know, like, why is it that you guys aren't all coming to the same conclusion? And so we are trying to lower as many barriers as we can find as soon as we identify a barrier, we try to tackle it. So one of them was, you don't have the same friends who maybe have access to the jobs. You don't even know that a job is open until it's already filled. So that's one of the reasons we post jobs in our newsletter. We want to get, as soon as a job opening happens, we're working with all these different recruitment teams and these hiring teams on, you know, within the industry. As soon as they're going to post a job, if they send it to us, we can post it in our newsletter. It's now right in front of you. It's in your mailbox. So that's, you know, one barrier that we're trying to lower is having access to the opportunity, like knowing that it's happening as soon as it's happening. With these resume workshops, we want to lower the barrier of, maybe your resume sounds too something, whatever it is, you know, X. Maybe it doesn't sound gaming enough, or it doesn't sound, you're not highlighting all of your accomplishments. A lot of times, you know, psychologically speaking, women actually have a harder time talking about themselves. So, you know, you need to be able to boast your accomplishments. And I think that comes, you know, male, female, non-binary, whoever you are, if you aren't comfortable promoting yourself and speaking to your accomplishments, it's going to be difficult to get a job, because as your hiring manager, I don't want somebody who's not sure if they can use Excel, you know? So you have to be able to know your skills and know that to speak to your strengths. And so we try very hard to get in front of people and have one-on-one mentoring, just opportunity to talk to somebody. Let me check out your resume. Let me see who I know. Oh, you're interested in this company. Another thing is our networking. Who do you know at that company? You're so much more likely to get a response to an application if you know somebody at the company that you're applying to. So if you know me and I know somebody at the company and I can speak to your skills, I have no problem reaching out to the person that I know to be like, hey, this person just applied to this job. You should really take a look at their resume. Doesn't mean you'll get the job, not necessarily, but if you're one in a million resumes and maybe they were just tired of looking at resumes that day, and I said, you should look at this one specific name, they might, you know, now call you when they hadn't really considered, maybe they hadn't even gotten to your resume. Maybe they had enough candidates before they even got there. So that sponsorship is definitely something that we promote as well. So that networking, who do you know yourself? I am applying for this job, and I know that you happen to be working at this company. Can you get a good word in for me? Or can you introduce me to someone that I can speak to about this role? So I think networking is definitely one of the biggest things that we are trying to tackle. And we've always had a really strong focus on networking for sure. As for the specific skill sets, we also don't want to reinvent the wheel. Companies like the IGDA are so focused on developers and certifications, and they have very specific how-tos. And that's not what our biggest focus is, because they're amazing and they have it covered. And why try to outdo something that's done really well? So ours is more of like the support side of things, I suppose.
No, that makes sense. And I think it's good to have sort of some clean mission focus and you know, to address the problem, not to try and address all the problems, and let, you know,
right,
keep some focus. So what are ways maybe that the No Name Nerd community could help out Wiki? I mean, and feel free to plug anything up to and including donate here. I'm totally on board.
Ooh, donate here. Do that. Yeah. Go to our website and click that big old button. We are all about donations. We do actually have so Amy has been with the organization for 10 years now, I think. Amy Allison, if you don't know her, connect with her. She knows everybody. So she has what's called a volunteer grab bag. She just has this list of things that we would love to do eventually, but we just don't have time to do it. So if anybody's interested, feel free to reach out to info@getwiki.com and we can definitely hook you up with a project. If you are looking to build a skill set, let me know. We probably need you. We are actually currently looking for someone to assist us with this shift into this virtual program space. And so we are looking for someone who can help with event program coordination. And we are all about supporting each other, empowering women to empower others and themselves, and Lift As You Climb are definitely two things that we fully stand on. So we also want to use our platform to help highlight other organizations. We're setting up a monthly partnership program right now that's going to roll out in 2021 as well. And every month we are highlighting a different nonprofit that is making an impact within the gaming space. When you see those posts, go to their site, give them some love as well. You know, follows on in social media. Just we're trying to normalize ourselves in the industry with regard to, we want to show people that there is someone here if they need support, or if there is, you know, if there's an opportunity that we can pivot in a way that is the most impactful and meaningful within the industry. That's where we want to be. So anybody who's interested, feel free to reach out. We will find a job for you and excited to meet you.
And I'll put in a plug for that, because I know that a lot of people in our community are interested in trying to take something that is maybe a hobby and professionalize it, and, you know, either in major ways or minor ways evolve their careers. And I think that volunteering is, I think you mentioned earlier, volunteering can be a great way of doing that, because what you can do is you can develop your skills, you can learn, you can network, you can have project performance indicators that you can then share with other employers when you're trying to move forward. Or it's just fun. It's just satisfying. So definitely reach out and contact them. All right, I think I have one more question.
Okay.
So because this is the No Name Nerd podcast, I have to ask, what is a nerd to you, or what does it mean to be a nerd to you?
Okay. So I would say, to me, being a nerd means being just myself and comfortable. I know when I first started off in my career, I constantly was trying to look to other people that I felt were successful and where I wanted to be. And growing up in the Midwest, that meant I was wearing sensible shoes and, you know, slacks with an elastic waistband by 22. So I was constantly trying to be what I thought I was supposed to be, or trying to be someone else that I thought was really successful and professional, I guess. And over the years, as you kind of grow up, I started to realize that's not who I am, and that's not who I really did want to be. I wanted the success and I wanted the professionalism. I wanted the fun. I wanted the, you know, certain characteristics that maybe that person was personifying in my head, but it didn't mean that I had to dress like them and look like them and walk like them and speak like them. So to me, being a nerd is wearing my Harry Potter shirt under my blazer and going to a board meeting and feeling completely comfortable because everybody there is expecting me to wear my Harry Potter shirt under my blazer when I show up at a board meeting. It's you know, not being afraid to talk about gaming and talk about comics and talk about all of the things that I love and I'm passionate about, and having a smart answer. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to dumb myself down to try to fit into a certain group or feel like I have to smile and nod to keep up with another group. I can ask the questions I need to ask to be able to be a part of a conversation and not be afraid to have an answer if there is, you know, an open-ended question or things like that. So I think being myself is what being a nerd means, and being comfortable being myself is definitely geek nerd everything there.
I love that answer, both in the Harry Potter shirt walking into the board meeting, as well as the sort of more broader example of both being open to asking questions and willing to ask questions, but also being willing to answer questions. Because I think that I'm trying to be obtuse about this, but society sometimes digresses and shies away from knowledge and from science and from information. I think that is a direction we need to stay away from. And I think that we should not be ashamed to have answers when we have those answers, even if they might be answers that others don't want to hear. But having the confidence and the willingness to share that information, I think, is something that, to me, speaks to being a nerd. So I really like that answer. Well, is there anything else, that any tips or any other information that you'd like to share with the No Name Nerd community?
Just sign up for our newsletter so you know what's coming up. We have a lot of things coming out in 2021. So if you head over to getwiggy.com, I'm pretty sure every single page at the bottom, you can just click subscribe to our newsletter. It'll ask you some information and then we can get started having fun together. So do that.
I've already subscribed, although it was right before this, so I have not actually gotten any newsletters yet, but I look forward to receiving them.
Thanks.
All right, Joan, I appreciate the time. And I really am grateful to have had the opportunity to talk with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey there, I'm excited to be welcoming some of our No Name Nerd community on to give shout outs to their stream. If you're interested in having your stream mentioned on our podcast, just head to anchor.fm/nonamenerd and make sure to click on the message button and then just record a message that is 30 seconds to a minute. Feel free to plug your stream and maybe you will be selected to appear on the air, just like the recording here.
Thanks for the podcast, guys. This helps me get to and from work with ease and entertained, as always. Thank you.
Thanks for all the awesome things you guys do for the community. You guys are the best, and keep on doing what you do.
Hi, my name is Ian, also known as Little Yeti, and I'm super stoked to have found the No Name Nerd community. I'm really looking forward to meeting more folks as the time permits and really get to embrace what a No Name Nerd is. Thanks.
So remember, if you are a nerd who loves to game, stream, read, watch, play, and are interested in promoting a welcoming and inclusive nerd culture, you belong with us. Just head to nonamenerd.com and join one of our online communities. If you want to get an in-depth understanding about how to grow the audience of your stream or bolster your followers, head to mynerdschool.com for professional courses for streamers and gamers looking to take their online presence to the next level. This is Brian from the No Name Nerd. Thanks for joining me.